You might think, well, that's weird food for a trip. That's certainly not what I pack when I go on a trip. Well, this is 2021 and this is 1600s when this is being written. But the reason he chose those things are they're right out of the Bible. Okay? Do you remember what Abigail packed for David and his men? She ran out there to intervene because they were coming to take care of Nabal, Abigail's husband, because they had asked for a little bit of food. And he said, no way, I'm not giving you nothing. And they had been helping protect his shepherds the whole time. They were out in the fields together, and it just kind of rubbed David wrong. He got in the flesh. And he said, guess what? Boys, saddle up. Get your swords. We're going to just go down and clean Nabal's clock. Abigail, his wife, heard about it from one of the servants, and she quickly got a bunch of food together and skedaddled down to intercept David and his men. She jumps off her donkey. She gets on the ground. She said, please, sir, don't do what you're planning to do. I brought you some food. The men are worthy of it and deserving of it. Let them help themselves. And please, my husband is a scoundrel, it's for sure, but if you go do what you're planning to do, you'll regret it someday. And David goes, wow, you're absolutely right. I got in the flesh, I was just hot-headed, and I was going to do what would have been to the shame of God. But you kept me from that. And he was so blessed by her. And they ate some of this same stuff. 1 Samuel 25:18. It's also in 2 Samuel 16:1 and in 1 Chronicles 12:40. It was a customary part of what you might do to provide in hospitality for someone else in time of need. That's how the Pilgrim's Progress is on every page. You are going to find little things like that that the more familiar you are with the Bible, the more you'll notice it. And if you're not familiar with the Bible, you think, why did he say it that way? Why did he do that? And again, you read the Bible 100 times and then come back to Pilgrim's Progress and you'll see all throughout every page little things that Bunyan, who knows the Word of God well, has introduced into the story on purpose. It's really quite amazing. Now we come to the part of the story as he has left the Palace Beautiful and he is heading in the direction of the Valley of Humiliation. Do you have that on your summer trip plans? Valley of Humiliation? Will God ever allow you and I to go into the Valley of Humiliation? Yes. That's on the way to his will. And he is going to encounter an adversary there by the name of Apollyon. And you will pick up the story then right there at the bottom of page 59, that last paragraph. And we're going to play a soundtrack of what's happening to help get you in the drama of the event, okay?
But now, in this valley of humiliation, poor Christian was hard put to it, for he had gone but a little way before he espied a foul fiend coming over the field to meet him. His name is Apollyon. Then did Christian begin to be afraid and to cast in his mind whether to go back or to stand his ground. But he considered again that he had no armor for his back, and therefore thought that to turn the back to him might give him the greater advantage with ease to pierce him with his darts. Therefore, he resolved to venture and stand his ground.
For had I no more in mine eye than the saving of my life, it would be the best way to stand.
So he went on, and Apollyon met him. Now the monster was hideous to behold. He was clothed with scales like a fish, and they are his pride. He had wings like a dragon, feet like a bear, and out of his belly came fire and smoke, and his mouth was as the mouth of a lion. When he was come up to Christian, he beheld him with a disdainful countenance, and thus began to question with him.
Whence come you, and whither are you bound?
I am come from the city of destruction, which is the place of all evil, and am going to the city of Zion.
By this I perceive thou art one of my subjects, for all that country is mine, and I am the prince and god of it. How is it then that thou hast run away from thy king? Were it not that I hope thou mayest do me more service, I would strike thee now at one blow to the ground.
I was born, indeed, in your dominions, but your service was hard, and your wages such as a man could not live on, for the wages of sin is death. Therefore, when I was come to years, I did, as other considerate persons do, look out, if perhaps I might mend myself.
There is no prince that will thus lightly lose his subjects. Neither will I as yet lose thee. But since thou complainest of thy service and wages, be content to go back. What our country will afford, I do here promise to give thee.
But I have let myself to another, even to the king of princes, and how can I with fairness go back with thee?
Thou hast done in this according to the proverb, changed a bad for a worse. It is ordinary for those that have professed themselves his servants, after a while, to give him the slip and return again to me. Do thou so too, and all shall be well.
I have given him my faith and sworn my allegiance to him. How then can I go back from this and not be hanged as a traitor?
Thou didst the same to me, and yet I am willing to pass by all. If now thou wilt yet turn again and go back.
What I promised thee was in my nunnage. And besides, I count the prince under whose banner now I stand is able to absolve me. Yea, and to pardon also what I did as to my compliance with thee. And besides, O thou destroying Apollyon, to speak truth, I like his service, his wages, his servants, his government, his company and country better than thine. Therefore, leave off to persuade me further. I am his servant, and I will follow him.
Consider again, when thou art in cool blood, what thou art like to meet with in the way that thou goest. Thou knowest that for the most part, his servants come to an ill end, because they are transgressors against me and my ways. How many of them have been put to shameful death? And besides, thou countest his service better than mine? Whereas, he never came yet from the place where he is to deliver any that served him out of their hands. But as for me, how many times, as all the world very well knows, have I delivered, either by power or fraud, those that have faithfully served me from him and his, though taken by them. And so, I will deliver thee.
His forbearing at present to deliver them is on purpose, to try their love, whether they will cleave to him to the end. And as for the ill end thou sayest they come to, that is most glorious in their account. For present deliverance they do not much expect it, for they stay for their glory. And then they shall have it when their prince comes in his, and the glory of the angels.
Thou hast already been unfaithful in thy service to him. And how dost thou think to receive wages of him?
Wherein, O Apollyon, have I been unfaithful to him?
Thou didst faint at first setting out, when thou wast almost choked in the gulf of despond. Thou didst attempt wrong ways to be rid of thy burden, whereas thou shouldest have stayed till thy prince had taken it off. Thou didst sinfully sleep and lose thy choice thing. Thou wast also almost persuaded to go back at the sight of the lions. And when thou talkest of thy journey, and of what thou hast heard and seen. Thou art inwardly desirous of vainglory in all that thou sayest or doest.
All this is true, and much more which thou hast left out. But the prince whom I serve and honor is merciful, and ready to forgive. But besides, these infirmities possessed me in thy country, for there I sucked them in. And I have groaned under them, been sorry for them, and have obtained pardon of my prince.
I am an enemy to this prince. I hate his person, his laws, and people. I have come out on purpose to withstand thee.
Apollyon, beware what you do, for I am in the king's highway, the way of holiness. Therefore, take heed to yourself.
Then Apollyon straddled quite over the whole breadth of the way and said,
I am void of fear in this matter. Prepare thyself to die. For I swear by thy infernal den that thou shalt go no further. Here will I spill thy soul.
And with that, he threw a flaming dart at his breast. But Christian had a shield in his hand, with which he caught it, and so prevented the danger of that. Then did Christian draw, for he saw that it was time to bestir him. And Apollyon is fast made at him, throwing darts as thick as hail, the which, notwithstanding all that Christian could do to avoid it, Apollyon wounded him in his head, his hand, and foot. This made Christian give a little back. Apollyon, therefore, followed his work amain. Christian again took courage and resisted as manfully as he could. This sore combat lasted for above half a day, even till Christian was almost quite spent. For you must know that Christian, by reason of his wounds, must needs grow weaker and weaker. Then Apollyon, spying his opportunity, began to gather up close to Christian, and wrestling with him, gave him a dreadful fall. With that, Christian's sword flew out of his hand. Then said Apollyon,
I am sure of thee now.
And with that, he had almost pressed him to death, so that Christian began to despair of life. But as God would have it, while Apollyon was fetching of his last blow, thereby to make a full end of this good man, Christian nimbly stretched out his hand for his sword and caught it, saying,
Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise.
With that, he gave him a deadly thrust, which made him give back, as one that had received his mortal wound. Christian, perceiving that, made at him again, saying,
Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us.
With that, Apollyon spread forth his dragon's wings and sped him away. But Christian, for a season, saw him no more.
We are going to have encounters like this. You know, it's portrayed as a physical, visible thing where we realize most of our warfare with dark forces of evil are going to not be visible to the, you know, physical eye, but yet just as real, in fact, more real in a sense. And so what can we learn from what Christian said and what Christian did, and possibly what he failed to say or what he failed to do. We always must be ready for that possibility. Does the Bible only give us examples of positive things? Only tell us all the good stories? No. It gives us a full picture of victories and failures. Have you ever had a failure? And so we appreciate God doing that, because if everybody we read about in the Bible was always successful, and we would say, I'm not that, it wouldn't be a very helpful book in one sense. It might drive us to despair. But because God allowed us to see the successes and failures of His people and how they were confronted by the various situations throughout history, it's such a wonderful resource for us to learn biblical principles from. And then people who are men and women of the book, further adding to that, a book like Pilgrim's Progress is really such a helpful tool for us. Charles Spurgeon said he, other than the Bible, he read that book more than any other book. I think he said he read it 100 times. Now, this is a guy who only lived to be in his 50s and had a huge ministry, but he took the time to read it 100 times. So I think you and I might can fit it in once or twice. What do you think? And benefit from it. You say, well, who's Charles Spurgeon? Well, probably the most notorious Baptist pastor of history. And a tremendous intellectual, spiritual man that I often look at his materials in preparation for my work here at the church. So I would encourage you to invest the time this week while what we just listened to is fresh in your mind, and just go in there and be ready to bring something to the discussion next week. We won't listen to a soundtrack. We'll go into discussing what we learned from it and what you might have gained during the week. Sound good? All right. Father, thank you for the privilege to be able to gather again in your house tonight, feasting on the unchanging truth of the Word of God as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. Thank you, Lord, that we don't have to grope in the darkness, but we can walk in fellowship and in the light with you. In Jesus' name.